Hi, everyone. Caitlin and I are continuing to take turns featuring the anti-racism educational resources we are engaging with each month, because we believe education leads to open hearts and free voices that are empowered to speak up and fight for change. Our hope is that you will find these resources useful for your education and that they will also help you cross the threshold into doing active anti-racism work so that we can create an equitable world together. We love you all. Black Lives Matter. So this month, I joined Sonia Renee Taylor's Patreon page. And if you don't know, Patreon is a website where you can sign up as a subscription member for artists, writers, creators, just like Sonia Renee Taylor. And so Sonia Renee Taylor is an activist, a poet, an educator, and the founder and radical executive officer of The Body Is Not an Apology, which is a digital media and education company committed to radical self-love as the foundational tool for social justice and global transformation. And she says that her Patreon is designed to help us create the new economy that is rooted in radical self-love. It is one where we engage reciprocity as an act of right relationship, recognizing that as we receive, we desire to return in equal and greater measure. And on her Patreon, Sonia Renee Taylor posts videos every few days talking about topics she is passionate about. So about radical self-love and about social justice. So I invite you to join her Patreon at patreon.com/ Sonia Renee Taylor. And the link for that is in the show notes. Welcome to the Full Heart, Free Voice podcast. I'm Emma Veritas. I'm a writer and writing coach for women who want to start writing. And I'm a teacher for women who want to find their true selves again.
And I'm Caitlin Bosshart, a life coach for the multi-passionate at heart and wedding coach for couples planning non-traditional weddings. We read books that inspire you to live with a full heart
and a free voice. Hey everyone, before we get started with today's episode, we have a fun announcement for you. So Caitlin and I have recently opened up our affiliate shop. Our affiliate shop is a library of resources by Clarissa Pinkola Estes, and you can find it at wildauthenticity.com/podcast shop. And when you go there, you'll find a list of links to Women Who Run With the Wolves, but also to all of Clarissa Pinkola Estes's audio classes that she's done through Sounds True. And when you buy these through these links, you support Clarissa Pinkola Estes, you support Sounds True, which is a very cool independent publisher, and you support our podcast because Sounds True has a very generous and amazing affiliate percentage that they give to us whenever you buy something. So it's this beautiful win-win-win, and it's also an opportunity for you to dive deeper into these educational resources. And so I just wanted to ask Caitlin today, Caitlin, what is one thing you have loved about listening to Clarissa Pinkola Estes's audio classes?
Well, I think it's, you know, when we are diving in so intimately with her work, and in a way it's like, I don't know about you, but there's been times I'm like, oh, it's Clarissa Pinkola Estes. Like there's a little bit of this, like, I don't know, she's like ethereal, I think, in some ways in my mind and in this, but you know, there was something that was so nice is, you know, when I listen to her audios, I get to hear her voice and I get, there's like a sense of her heart and her intention that comes through in a way that, you know, now that I've listened to her voice and how she tells these stories, when I'm reading, I hear her, like her tone and how she kind of explains things. And it gives me a different level of understanding, I think, of the way that she is expressing her her ideas and her thoughts and her wisdom. And so that's been one of the coolest things, that it's just like another level of kind of getting to know this author that we are engaging with so intimately and learning from.
And there's a special audio I want to tell you about today, which is the audio version of Women Who Run With the Wolves. First published 3 years before the print edition of Women Who Run With the Wolves made publishing history, this original audio edition quickly became an underground bestseller. For its insights into the inner life of women, it established Dr. Clarissa Pinkola Estes as one of the most important voices of our time in the fields of Jungian psychology, myth, and women's mysteries. And so a lot of people have asked me this question about this particular audio version, which is why I wanted to feature it here. So it is not the unabridged version of the book. It's actually not an audiobook at all. It is the original version of Women Who Run With the Wolves, which she first released as this audio recording. But if you are looking to listen to Clarissa Pinkola Estes, to listen to her talk about some of these stories, to review what you've learned about Women Who Run With the Wolves, this is a really great audio to get. So we invite you to go to wildauthenticity.com/podcast shop and click on our special link to purchase this recording. Thanks, everyone. Welcome to our book club study of Women Who Run With the Wolves, where we are talking about Chapter 15, Shadowing, Canto Hondo, The Deep Song. So this chapter is the last chapter of Women Who Run With the Wolves that we are studying for our podcast. In older versions of the book, it is actually the last chapter, but in more recent versions, there is a chapter 16, which is an original story by Clarissa Pinkola Estes called The Wolf's Eyelash. But for what we're doing here, we're going to focus on chapter 15 for our last book study and life school episodes, since it's a chapter that we know everybody has in their books. Chapter 15 serves as a wrap-up of everything we've learned in the book so far. It is a powerful manifesto for living a life from your instinctual nature. And what I like to say is that if you only ever read one chapter of this book, this should be it. This should be the chapter, because it is a much more accessible chapter. And I think you could easily read it without having read anything else in the book. And it's just a really, really great synopsis of living from your wild instinct and why you might do that. So chapter 15 is for you if you are looking to read something short and encouraging about being your true self. It's for you if you want a boost of courage or empowerment in tough situations. And it's for you if you want to have a reminder about what you've learned and how you have changed through reading Women Who Run With the Wolves. And so Dr. Estes does not offer a separate story in chapter 15. So today I won't be doing a special story retelling like I normally do. But I do want to talk about this concept of shadowing that she teaches here. So she says, shadowing means to have such a light touch, such a light tread, that one can move freely through the forest, observing without being observed. A wolf shadows anyone or anything that passes through her territory. It is her way of gathering information. It is the equivalent of manifesting and then becoming like smoke and then manifesting again. And what Dr. Estes teaches here is that shadowing is how our wild woman or wild self acts in our lives. She says, the wild woman has been shadowing human woman for years. Now we see a glimpse of her. Now she is invisible again. Yet she makes so many appearances in our lives in so many different forms. And I think the idea here is that she's saying the wild self, that wild instinctual part of you, shadows you, right? She keeps appearing. And so no matter how disconnected you feel, the wild self is still watching, observing, and waiting for when you are ready to claim this aspect of your life. And I really love this particular quote as, for me, the big takeaway from this chapter. So Dr. Estes says, "We are meant to be permanent residents, not just tourists in her territory, for we are derived from that land. It is our motherland and our inheritance at the same time." For today's episode, Caitlin and I are going to talk about this idea of being residents of the wild nature, and we're going to wrap up our experiences of studying Women Who Run With the Wolves over the course of this past year and a half. So first, I'm going to tell you our origin story of how we got started and what our mission was with this project. And then Caitlin and I will each tell you about who we were when we started, who we are now, and how we have become more permanent residents in the land of our instinctual nature through this deep study of Women Who Run With the Wolves. So before we start on that, we just want to give you a little update on where we're going with the podcast. So after today's book study, we're going to have three more episodes related to Women Who Run With the Wolves. We'll have a life school episode, and then we'll have a couple bonus episodes. And then we're going to take a break for a couple of months in September and October. And when we relaunch in November, we're going to be studying a new book, right? So we're going to keep studying inspirational books a chapter at a time to help us live with a full heart and a free voice. But the book we're going to study, it's still to be determined. So Caitlin gets to choose this book since I had chosen Women Who Run With the Wolves. And what we would love to know is, do you have any ideas for books you would love for us to study that helped you live with a full heart and a free voice? And if you do, please let us know by sending us an email to fullheartfreevoicepodcast@gmail.com. And we'll have the link to our email in the show notes. Okay, so hi, Caitlin.
Hey, Emma.
Okay, so we're at the last book study episode of Women Who Run With the Wolves. This is very exciting.
I can hardly believe it. I was actually looking through, you know, the end of the book, and I was like, oh my gosh, like how did we do this? How did we go through every single chapter? My book is falling apart. There are a million underlines, notes in the margins, and my husband laughs at how many little sticky tabs I have on all the pages. It's just like, what happened?
Yeah.
Like, this is what happens when you do a deep study of a book and then you have to talk about it on a podcast.
Yes. Yes. That is what happened. Okay. So I want to tell you all our origin story of how we got started and why we did this podcast in the first place. And first, if you are really interested in what it was like for us to just make a podcast, in our creativity episode called How to Nourish Your Creative Life, episode number 26, Caitlin and I really did a deep dive into what it was like to create a podcast. So if you'd like to know about those behind the scenes, you can definitely listen to that episode when you're done with this one. But for this one, we're really going to focus on what it was like to read Women Who Run With the Wolves in this deep, deep way. So what happened was, when I was in my 20s, probably 26 or 27, so about 15, 16 years ago, a good friend of mine had given me a copy of Women Who Run With the Wolves because I think she saw that I really needed it. I needed to know some things about how to be in the world in a safe way, right? Because I was really having some troubles in my 20s and getting into some trouble. And so I read Women Who Run With the Wolves, and it was hugely impactful for me at the time. At the time, I really hadn't read any, I think, like feminist literature for sure, any self-help literature in this kind of field of study of like psychology and Jungian analysis and all of that. And I heard some things in the book that I'd never really heard before about having boundaries, about saying no, about how it's okay to keep yourself safe, about how creativity is important. Like, there are all these messages here that really spoke to me. And when I was done reading this book, I just remember thinking, oh, this is what I want to do with my life. I want to be a fairy tale therapist. That's all I wanted to do. I wanted to do whatever she was doing in the book. And so that's not how things played out. I am not a fairy tale therapist, but I did really get this kind of seedling of wanting to do something more with this book and with this work and with storytelling in general. And so years went by. I didn't really do anything with it. And then in 2017, when Trump came into office in the US, I was really thinking about what can I do? Like, what can I do to make an impact with the skills I have, right? With what I'm good at, with what I would be like sustainable for me over the long term, and how can I make an impact on the world? And I thought, well, this is the time to bring Women Who Run With the Wolves back and to try to make this work more accessible for people who wanted to read it. Because for me, up until that point, that was the most empowering book I had read. So I started a book club on Facebook, a Facebook group called Women Who Run With the Wolves Book Club, where we read a chapter a month of Women Who Run With the Wolves, and we met on Zoom and did a group call every month. And we did that for a long time. We read the book twice through. And if you're listening to this and you're one of my members of the book club who showed up to most of the calls, that was amazing. Like, you've been with us since the beginning. But after doing that a couple times, I really wanted to find a different way to do this work. I wanted it to be more permanent, a more permanent home, right? Where people could always find it. And at the time, I had started to listen to a few book study podcasts, and I realized that this was our way. Like, this was it. It needed to be a podcast so that, I just had, I don't know, such a mission in my heart to make this book more accessible for people. And I love the idea of making a podcast and then also having a social community, a social media community where people could then discuss if they wanted to. And then I knew I couldn't do it alone because I knew it would be a huge project. So I asked Caitlin, who was my good friend for a long time. We had been friends for probably 5 years by that point. And we had done so much talking. Caitlin and I met in life coach training, and we were a part of like a practice group who would coach each other every week. And we just kept talking every week. So every week we were talking on the phone. And so I knew that Caitlin and I could have a really, really good conversation together, and that we could do it over an audio format, and that it would be good and interesting. And Caitlin luckily said yes to this project, but I don't think either of us knew like how much work it was going to be. No. What do you think, Caitlin?
No, not at all. Not at all. But it's been such a cool experience all along the way. And I think sometimes when you're going on a journey like this, sometimes not knowing is good, because then you do it and you just kind of, you dive in with that, you know, bright eyes and pushy tail, and you're like, we can do it. And we have, yeah. Which has been really cool. You know, actually, there's a couple of things I want to share also about like how I kind of intersect with Women Who Runs With the Wolves. So this is really cool for me, because this is actually the first time that I've read the whole book completely through. And so it also kind of feels like this nice closing of something that actually started for me about 7 years ago. I was working with a friend who is a Reiki healer and an herbalist. And at the end of one of our sessions, I was working at the domestic violence shelter and was having a lot of the nightmares that I have told you all about in the Outing the Predator episode. And she was like, you need to read this Bluebeard story from Women Who Runs With the Wolves. So she lent me her own very marked up copy, and I read it, and I remember it really resonating with me, but I didn't go any further, and I gave her her book back. And then when you started the book club around the book, I started reading it with you, and I was following along for about 4 or 5 chapters. And then it was such an overwhelming book that I ended up putting it down. And I think I ran into a chapter, and I know I've said it in one of the episodes, which one it was. Now I don't even remember, but I was like, this is the one that totally stopped me from reading. And you're like, you can skip it. And I was like, no, I can't. I have to go, you know, I was like too rigid about like needing to go, you know, chapter by chapter, which is totally not needed. I see now. This, but yeah, it's like there were these like false starts kind of in a way, and then now I've completed it, and yeah, it feels good. So you know what would be actually so fun is I would love to know from our listeners, you know, like I don't know if there's a way to do a poll or something, but I would love to know how many times someone's read the book, like just out of curiosity, or if this is your first time and what that experience has been for you. So if you want to share with us, again, email us at fullheartfreevoicepodcast@gmail.com, or, you know, share with us in the podcast group, because I just think that that's really interesting how so many of us are in different places in our journey with this book.
Yeah, I agree. And actually, because I posted in the Facebook group telling folks that we were going to be recording this, and I was wondering who had been following along. And one person was saying, like, she couldn't read the book, but that the podcast is like essential to making it accessible for her. And I was so glad about that, because I mean, really my number one mission and our number one mission around this project was to make it so that this information was accessible. I think something I learned from reading and studying the book twice through and teaching about it, like actually having to present on it every month, what I really learned was what a challenging read it is, both reading level wise, like it's really hard. Like I would have to read each paragraph twice, even the first two times I read it through, in order to like say something about it that was meaningful, to read each paragraph twice, basically. So really, I probably read it four times, right, through that whole thing. And I was like, this is a hard book. And it's a hard book emotionally, like what it can bring up for people. And, you know, so something Caitlin and I haven't really done with this book was read it very critically. Like we haven't done a very critical read of Women Who Run With the Wolves, because we were more like, how can we take the information that's here, make it accessible for people, and really just tell stories about how these things have shown up in our lives? And so I just want to acknowledge that, because I know that there certainly are ways to read this book critically, especially some parts really, I don't know if they've aged so well over time, but I was really glad to be able to do this in a way that was truly looking at how can we make this so that you, our listener, can become more of your like wildly authentic, true self over time, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I think what you're saying about, you know, having to read it over and over, I mean, sometimes I felt when we were sitting down to record that we could do a whole episode on one paragraph. And sometimes I'm like, how do I even try to like synthesize this down into something that's going to be digestible and coherent? and I just want to say actually a huge, huge thank you to you for being the one to summarize these chapters, because that is a skill set and a time commitment in and of itself. Yeah. And it's helped me to also understand. Sometimes we're sitting here recording and I'm hearing you read it and I'm like, oh, I get it now. You know, and so like that's also been like a huge part of it. And there is something truly about teaching something that I wouldn't have probably stuck with this in the same way if I wasn't trying to understand it so I could help you, our listeners, also understand it on some level. So yeah, it's like such an interesting process, like all these different layers.
It really, really is. Okay. Yeah. Because they're the layers of us presenting it on a podcast, teaching it, reading it, taking the philosophy into our own lives, and just learning from the book itself. Okay. So this feels like a really great segue to ask you, Caitlin, who were you when you started this project? Who were you? What was going on? Oh, yeah. So this was... we started recording in November of 2019. We released our first episode in January of 2020. And then now it's July of 2021. So we know major world stuff was happening, which I guess I also want to acknowledge, we did not talk very much about the global pandemic on our episode. And mostly it was because, gosh, I just needed a break from thinking about the pandemic, right?
Yeah. And I think we had this pretty acute sense that a lot of people needed that break.
Yeah.
And there was something, for me that actually was so grounding about diving into this work and feeling even this like internal movement, and like we were moving forward on this project and we were moving forward as a community, you know, working mm-hmm. our way through this book, mm-hmm. even when there are a lot of things in our lives that were out of our control, unknown, just feeling like really overwhelming and even stagnant.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, yeah. And to answer your question, who I was, I mean, this actually, when I was, you know, prepping for the podcast, I was like, who was I? This is such a hard question to almost answer because, you know, so much has happened in the past year and a half. But what actually popped in my mind today was in the shower. I don't know if anyone has like all their ideas like when they're in the shower, but if like I'm stuck, I'm like, I need to get in water. but the thing that actually just was like the biggest thing was like I was someone with a lot of untold stories. Mm. And I didn't fully understand the significance of the stories of my own life. And that this podcast actually gave me an outlet to not only share, but to alchemize those painful stories. And it's, you know, it's like when she talks about it in the Bluebeard and Outing the Predator chapter, you know, how you can take something toxic and render the parts of it that are medicinal. And to be able to see them as, you know, these vital lessons that I had to learn, and that they were actually, you know, my stories and you know, the traumas and all of those different things are part of an initiation process to connect me to my intuition and my instinct and my truest self that had been covered up by a lot of these, you know, cultural messages that we all, you know, receive no matter what culture we're in. And it's given me the opportunity to share things that, you know, like I had only really shared with maybe some close friends, right, or when I knew that it was really safe. But now it's like these things are out on the internet, and there's just like, yeah. And I've just thought about how, you know, there's actually no safety in sharing in this way. But at the same time, it's been so empowering to be able to make that choice to be vulnerable, because it's like helped me clean up my own creative river by having the courage to use my voice mm-hmm. and to say the things that I know to be my own truth. I don't know if that's not really yes. like cleanly yeah. answering your question, but like that was like what came to me this morning in the shower is like, that's kind of where I was before. It's like, I wasn't sharing all these parts of myself. And like a lot of the people, if you've listened to us from the beginning, you really truly have heard things that I haven't shared in a public space like this ever.
Yeah. So it's like it freed your voice.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Do this project.
And, you know, and actually I want to hear from you, like who were you before?
Gosh, when I think about who I was before, I think I was in a bit of like a holding pattern or a waiting pattern. Like my husband and I had bought a house in Washington state, but we were renting it out. So we're waiting to move in. And with the pandemic, like we couldn't ask our tenant to leave, right? He needed to be able to stay in place. And so throughout our whole podcast, basically, we were waiting to move, right? It was like all of these things had been holding. My business was not quite solidified in like what I was really doing with my work. Like I had really begun being a writing coach and had been a writing coach only for about a year or so, but I wasn't quite settled on exactly how I wanted to be a writing coach in the world. So I think there was a lot going on that was still not solid, right? Like things were still moving in my life. And for me, it was like, the year and a half of transition. Mm-hmm. This has just been a huge time of transition in my life and in the world too. So I think for me, like we were saying, this being the anchor point of something we were doing was so good to like sit down and read about the ugly duckling, to read about, you know, the sexuality chapter, or to be challenged and to teach and to study and read and to remember like who I am. I think that's one of the really great things about how kind of like broad sweeping the topics are in this book, because she touches on like boundaries, creativity, like all these different things, community, belonging. Each one could be a whole book, and our whole books out in the world on these topics. And for me, it was like such a touch point to remember, like, who am I in terms of boundaries? Who am I in terms of rage? You know, like, mm-hmm. who am I in terms of creating something? And it was so good to just, I don't know, have that experience of remembering who I am, and also to be empowered, especially when things are so up in the air and unsettled, to remember that even when things are up in the air and settled, I still get to protect myself. I still get to be a strong person. And so I think for me, like now at the end, I do feel more empowered, because if like you can do that stuff when everything is, who knows what's going on, then when everything is grounded, like now we're living at our new house, I'm recording this episode in my closet. So now I feel like one of those podcasters recording in her closet. You know, so it's like, I'm here and I'm settled. So I think that's super interesting now that it's like our furniture finally arrived. I'm sitting in probably my permanent recording location. That feels really wild. Yeah.
So I'm curious, like, do you know how many different locations you've actually recorded from?
Oh, no, I really don't. Cause I've recorded in, oh my gosh. Yeah. We were living in Airbnbs for a while, recording in all these different places. So I don't know. I'm just so happy that my sound quality can be consistent moving forward. I'm like, okay, this is my sound quality.
It's a whole other behind the scenes thing. And this is actually something, yeah. I mean, it's a little off topic, but I think it's kind of an interesting behind the scenes thing is that, you know, some people think that you and I are sitting in the same room. Like we are, like I've had friends say like, oh, like, so where do you guys like record? Like what studio do you rent out? And we're like, no, like we are in our homes and we are like thousands of miles or whatever. Yes. We're like really, really far apart. Yeah. And actually, interesting fact, Emma and I have only ever interacted with each other in person one time.
That's right. I forget about that.
I do too, because we know each other so well.
Yes.
But we met at our retreat in San Luis Obispo in 2014, right?
That's right.
Yeah. And it was the only time we've actually seen each other like face to face. I mean, we've done some like FaceTime and stuff, but mostly like I know your voice better than I know your face in a way, you know, because that's like,
yeah,
we've just spent so much time on the phone together. So anyway, as like a little kind of, I don't know, factoid about how our experience and our relationship.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay. So I went through this year and a half from like big transition to feeling settled and permanent. You went from not telling your stories to being a storyteller, which is my mission and passion in life. So I'm so happy to hear about that. Very correct work.
Yes. And you've been a catalyst to that, you know, and in a lot of ways. And actually, I have one other thing I want to share too about like when I was going into this book, and I'm wondering because if this will resonate with other people or resonate with you, is that when I was starting this, I had this anxiety that I didn't know if I would get this book. And looking back, I realized that, you know, I was expecting that it would reveal these massive secrets to me. You know, right. But actually my experience was pretty different. And that as I read, there were actually, I read something and there would be this like ring of truth. And it's almost like my true self would sit up and be like, yes, yes. Like that's what we believe. That's what we know to be true for ourselves. And that it was more of a recognition than revealing something that I just flat out didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Does that resonate with you, or did you have a different experience before you started reading this book?
Right. I think when I read it the first time in my 20s, I think she was saying things I had like never heard before. I mean, my listeners know I also told so many stories during this, like stories I never tell, like growing up in a fundamentalist Christian home, what that was like and all of that. And so my family was very anti-feminist. Like feminism was a very, very, very bad word in my home. Like if you were to call someone a feminist, it was a bad word to call them. You'd have to say it in hushed tones.
The F word.
Yeah. So I certainly did not grow up with any knowledge of boundaries or being a person who takes care of themselves or something, you know, like this stuff is so brand new to me. So the first time I read it, it really was revealing, like to me, secrets that were true and felt true, but it was also like the keys to the kingdom. Like, oh, these things can be true. And I think that can happen for people with lots and lots of different books and lots of different podcasts and different teachers of someone actually saying, hey, guess what? You get to say no. You get to do that. And like if you don't know that from how you grew up, the first person who tells you that, it's like, holy crap, I do? Excellent. You know, it's such a huge thing. But this time reading it, I think it was more like you. It was just amazing reminders. Like, oh, yeah. Or like I'd read a sentence that I just never really noticed before. Or it was really fun reading this time because I had all my underlines from the previous two times I had read from this particular book. And it was really fun to see like my notes in the margins and to see what really popped out at me and how reading it this time, those things didn't pop out at me. Like I had like huge exclamation points and like arrows going, this is it. And I was like, why? This doesn't seem like that big a deal anymore.
Yeah, because it had actually assimilated for you.
Yes. Yeah, cool. It assimilated. So it's so funny to like look back at my reading journey that way. It's so nice. And like all different things this time were the things I would write and say, this is the thing. This is the thing. And I'm sure like next time I'd read it, that thing would feel like obvious again, right?
Right. Yeah. And some of the things that, you know, I would read, it's not like, oh, I do all these things, but it was sometimes that like, oh, duh. Like, of course, like, yes, I know this. Like, like, yes. I know that this is okay to feel these ways. It's okay to honor my creative cycles. It's okay. Yes. And I'm like, it's the way, you know, the path forward to do these different things. I know these on an intuitive level, but there was a lot of the cultural messaging that I realized like, oh yeah, here's the work to continue clearing this so I can actually hear and integrate this wisdom.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I love that. Okay. So I have a question for you, which we did not discuss prior to our podcast, prior to recording, which is do you think there's one chapter that was like more impactful for you than others?
You know, I actually was thinking about this and I don't know that there's one in particular, like that's like the chapter for me per se, mm-hmm. but because it's such a big piece of what I do think that for me, I think it was really the clear water, nourishing the creative life chapter, just because it's kind of what I've been sort of obsessed with thinking about, and that it's been such a journey of coming back to myself. And it's the message that probably if you go back and listen to all the episodes, the quotes that I pick out from all the chapters, if there was something about creativity, I was like, this is the quote I'm sharing. And so it just wasn't the chapter. It was like, that was the theme that really wove in and out of basically every chapter in some sort of way. Mm-hmm. That was like, it was the reminder that I literally needed to hear every single every single chapter, no matter what the main focus was, and how that interacted with the life disc life cycle and how that interacts with, you know, mate or union with the other, like finding your mate and, you know, all these other pieces. It's like, that was the big thing. So then, like, flipping it over to you, do you have one or a theme that was most important in this reading of the book?
I think so. You know, I think community, I think the Ugly Duckling episode on chapter 6 probably was my biggest one, where I really told my story, like you were saying, like in a way I'd never told it before. And it was probably the hardest one to edit, because I edit the episodes, and going back and re-listening to myself tell my hard story was really hard. So the idea of community really sunk in for me. And, you know, there are a couple chapters, this one and the sexuality one, where I knew something deeper was going on in my life for that thing, because I pull oracle cards a lot as a personal practice. I love oracle cards. But while I was working on the Ugly Duckling chapter, which probably took me like weeks to actually edit and put together, I kept pulling the swan card. Like, I just kept getting swan over and over and over again.
Yeah, which I remember
is what,
that.
Like, the Ugly Duckling is all about. So that was really meaningful to me, because I thought, okay, this is really about, like, my work in the world is about self-expression. And to me, like, the Ugly Duckling is all about self-expression as well, about like finding your people, finding your community, the people who like your message is here for, is such a huge part of self-expression and being like wildly authentic and being yourself. So I agree, like your work, like the creativity chapter is so core and central. And I think for my work, the Ugly Duckling chapter is, even though we both have crossovers, because both of our work is about self-expression and creativity. But you know what is funny? For the sexuality chapter, that same thing kept happening, where I kept pulling a sacred sexuality card the whole time we were working on the sexuality chapter.
So I actually don't think you told me that.
It's so funny. I was just like, what?
What was it that was coming up for you? Like, when you were seeing those things, those cards come up while we're doing those chapters.
Yeah.
What were the, if you're comfortable sharing, like, what were the ahas that you were having about what was happening in your own life? Like, in conjunction. So like, the magic or, you know, the oracle cards plus the book plus the podcast. Like, what was the synergy in your life there?
I think the synergy was like, with the oracle cards coming through, for me, it was just such a reminder that, I guess, like, me doing my own processing of Women Who Run With The Wolves was really important. Like, when I get into a teacher role, I can be so focused on who I'm teaching and wanting to present the materials in a way for, like for the podcast, our listeners, or for my work, it's like the people I coach. It's like I'm there for them, right? And I think when I kept pulling those cards, it was such a reminder that I was also there for me, and that like reading this book was transforming my life, which I sometimes forget to see that. So that's an interesting thing. Like with Women Who Run With The Wolves, I would forget that I was also doing it for me, that it was also impacting me. Yeah. How did you feel about that, actually, like reading and studying for an audience?
I think there were also times where I was focused on, okay, so how do I then present this? But the cool thing about it, you know, is like when you are teaching something, you have to understand something on a deep enough level to be able to teach it to somebody else or to be able to talk about it. And what's kind of cool is, you know, the way that we've focused so intensely on these different subjects, you know, for the purpose of the podcast. And then we're moving on to the next topic and the next chapter. And I actually this morning was just reading back through other chapters of the book and things like that. And I was just like, oh my gosh, here I'm seeing all these ways that this really has played out in my life. And sometimes it's happening under the surface, or it's just, you know, just becomes like part of how you navigate through the world without it even, you even realizing, or without this over efforting of like, I'm going to apply this to my life.
Yes.
It's something kind of sunk in, and then it just, there's this underlying influence that's there.
Yes. Yes. I love how you describe that. Yeah. It feels weird with this because it feels like, yeah, I'm not efforting the transformation. Like, we're having this fun time doing this passion project, and transformation is also happening. So interesting.
So, you know, what that makes me think of is there's the story about the Rabbanim, where she's talking about how, you know, you want to have focus, like some amount of focus and attention to the unconscious, but then almost like if you put too much attention onto it, like that's not good. So it's kind of like there's this like intense concentration, and then you kind of like release your grip on it a little bit, and then it sort of just like does its thing. Like,
yes.
You know, it's almost like, okay, I'm going to do the effort. I'm going to put the seed into the ground. I'm going to water it, put it in a sunny place, and then I'm just going to kind of walk away until, you know, like next spring or something. And, you know, and so that's, in some ways, that's almost what this has felt like for me.
Okay, so now it is time for Caitlin and I to do our check-ins and to let you all know what's going on with us and in our worlds. But for today, what we want to do is to really tell you all a little bit more about ways that you can support the podcast. So now that we're done with Women Who Run With The Wolves and we're thinking about continuing and, you know, going forward and reading new books and doing this, we really want to be able to partner with you all more closely as a community with what we're doing. So Caitlin, would you like to tell our listeners the ways that they can support the podcast?
Yes. So one, I mean, just by listening to the podcast is in so many ways like such an emotional support for us. Like it just means so much to us that you spend your precious time with us. We don't take that lightly at all. And there are a few ways, you know, that you can continue to support us, because, you know, we do want to continue moving on with this podcast. And so one of the simplest yet super impactful ways that you can support the podcast is to go into your favorite, whether it's Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast app, and to leave us a 5-star review. It just takes a couple of moments. And if you even have one more moment and you would be willing to leave us a written review, it just makes such a difference for potential listeners while they're, you know, sifting through all the different possible podcasts that they can listen to, you know, maybe why to spend their time with us, you know, from your perspective, and then they can see if it resonates with them or not. So again, if you'd be willing to take a couple of moments, even if you want to pause the podcast right now, it would just mean so much to us. And then the other ways that you can, of course, support us is, you know, you've been hearing about our amazing affiliate shop. So you can listen to the Women Who Run With The Wolves audio that Emma mentioned today. There are so many incredible audio classes. So, you know, your work and diving deeper into this book certainly can go far beyond even this podcast. And it's such a cool way to support Dr. Estes, to support Sounds True, which is an amazing independent publishing company, and to also support us with the podcast. And as you've been hearing in the last couple episodes, we now have this really fun podcast merchandise shop. There are lots of different options for t-shirts and mugs and stickers and things like that that have a couple different versions of our logo on it. So if you love the podcast, you love our art, that's such a cool way for you to support it, because we do receive some amount of the cost of each item that helps us pay for, you know, hosting the podcast on our website. And then at some point, we're hoping to get to the point where we can create a little bit of compensation for our time. You know, we absolutely love doing this. It is a passion project. And also, you know, there is a cost that goes into, you know, everything that we do. And then another way, you know, of course, is to share the podcast with a friend. If you know someone who would love the podcast, please share it with them. And then the last way to support not only the podcast, but us is to work with either Emma and I or both of us, you know, depending on where you're at in your life and the support that you're needing, to work with us directly. We know from experience that it can take some courage to you know, reach out to someone. But if you resonate with our work, just know that we would be so thrilled to get the opportunity to work with you, whether in, you know, all, you know, we have so many different capacities. So I'm going to actually pause there and I'm going to let Emma just remind you all of all the different ways that you can work with her. And then I will share the different ways that you can also work with me.
Yeah. So if you would love to experience my work, there are actually, I think I have 3 or 4 different offers right now. Caitlin and I are very multi-passionate people, so we always have a lot going on. But right now you can join the Courageous Bloggers Society, which is for you if you're somebody who really wants to write online in order to inspire, teach, and help others, that you find sharing your voice on the internet to be very intimidating, right? So we're all about boosting your courage to help you do this thing you long to do, which is to write on the internet and hit publish on your words. The other thing I offer is actually one-on-one coaching, which you can email me to ask more about. But my coaching is really for you if you want that one-on-one, like external processing time to really work out and figure out what is your writing project. So if you are somebody who wants to inspire, teach, and help others, and maybe you want to write a book, or maybe you're just not really sure what this writing project is going to be or how to keep it on track and make it actually happen, you can absolutely reach out to me to see if my one-on-one coaching would be a good fit for you. And then at the turn of the seasons, I do oracle card readings, which are intuitive readings where I really help you set an intention for the season ahead to figure out what is next for your creative work. And then, you know, something I haven't talked about in a long time on the podcast is my online class, Find Your True Self Again, which is probably more directly in line with Women Who Run With the Wolves and what we're doing here. But I do have this online class called Find Your True Self Again, which is really guides you through daily 10-minute action steps that you can do when you feel really, really disconnected just from who you are. And you just want to get connected again. You just want to remember who you are, who is your true self. So Find Your True Self Again is also available. And all of those links will be in the show notes. So Caitlin, can you remind everyone of the amazing things you do?
Of course. So as you guys have all been hearing a lot about this term, multi-passionate, we use this term a lot. I do work with multi-passionate creatives one-on-one. And so a lot of people are not really sure what this multi-passionate term is, but a lot of the really key signposts, if you are a multi-passionate person, is that you have a lot of different interests, that you struggle to maybe see your life following one specific career path because there's just so many different things that you love. If you're someone who you worry about choosing something because you worry about getting bored, the idea of doing one thing for the rest of your life makes you bored to tears. If you are a lifelong learner and you just want to explore everything in the world, but you don't really know where to start, you know, that's often a lot of the really key things that I see come up with multi-passionate people, whether they know that they're multi-passionate or not. And so my program, my one-on-one program, is really for multi-passionate creatives who are wanting to create a life that truly fulfills them in all these different aspects of who they are as this multidimensional person with lots of different interests, to help you really own who you are as a person and then begin to create a life that is nourishing really to your creative life. Again, back to that chapter that just really, I really, really love. And then I also have a one-on-one option that's just a single session, which is the activation session, which is a deep dive into helping multi-passionate creatives to understand their creative process. So if you feel like you've been getting stuck or procrastinating on a particular passion project, it might mean that you're working outside of your natural tendencies. And that's what we help you get really clear on in this session. And so that is a really great way for people who aren't sure if a longer term container is a good fit for them. You'll get this really nice deep dive. It's an amazing standalone session. And then if at some point you decide that you actually want to continue working together longer term, you can actually apply the value of your activation session towards the longer term one-on-one program. So that has been so fun. And I love doing that with multi-passionate creatives. I also have, just as an FYI, a ton of free content on my Instagram page. So if you follow me at Caitlin_Bossheart, I almost weekly do multi-passionate PSAs where I'm just breaking down a lot of the common myths and misconceptions. So check that out if you're just wanting to learn more about being multi-passionate. And then the last way you can work with me is through my wedding coaching. So if you or someone you know is a couple who is really wanting to tie the knot their own way, they really want a wedding that is going to be authentic and deeply meaningful to them, who feel, you know, maybe disingenuous following a lot of the more traditional wedding script per se, you know, those are the types of couples that I work with to help them stay really true to themselves in the process, stay grounded in what's most important to them throughout the whole process, and help them create a truly meaningful and representative ceremony for themselves. So those are the current ways that you can work with me. But like Emma said, things are always changing and shifting. And so, you know, continue checking back on, you know, the different things that both of us have going. You know, it's always going to be kind of exciting because you just never know what we might come up with. So again, thank you all so much for all the ways that you have already supported us. And thank you again for considering, you know, supporting us in these other ways.
Okay, so Caitlin, I loved hearing about who you were when you started reading Woman Who Ran With the Wolves and a little bit about who you are now. So I'm curious now to hear about, how do you feel like more of a permanent resident in your instinctual nature, as she calls it in this chapter 15? How do you feel more like that now in your life?
Yeah, so one of the things that kind of hit me more recently was my relationship with rest. Not that long ago, I was someone who said, you know, I hate the fact that I have to sleep 8 hours a night to feel good. It like irked me because I felt like I was like missing out on something, and like, why do I have to sleep? It's so annoying. I just want to be like doing things all the time. Just like, I don't know, probably a lot of cultural stuff in it. But I think also being a multi-passionate person, there's so much I want to do. But that now I realize like how vital rest is. And I fiercely guard my rest now. And that, again, it's just like, that has just been such a different thing. And I think hearing this message like over and over and over again has been really, really impactful for me of just like, I can't be creative if I'm exhausted. It just like doesn't, they don't work. So that's one part. The other piece is that, you know, I've been able to have these, because I believe in the importance of my own creative life, it has helped me and given me language to be able to talk with my partner, my husband, about my needs and my frustrations and my desires and how I need to be able to, you know, stoke the fire of my own creative life. And I remember like this very cool moment of, you know, if anyone has, you know, been with a partner for a long time, sometimes you feel like you've had the same conversation for a long time and then finally like it clicks and you're just like, hallelujah. But, you know, and it was such a cool moment where, you know, we were sitting down and we were having a conversation about my creative flow and how my creative flow looks like throughout the day. And my husband has a very, very physical job. And so when he comes home, you know, he's kind of ravenous. Like, and so sometimes there was a little bit of an annoyance of like I'm hungry and now I have to cook and like level, you know, whatever. And I get it. I feel the same way. If I'm hangry, you want to have food. And so we sat down and we were having a conversation about it. And it says like, you know, I'm happy to cook, but I cannot have dinner ready by 5 o'clock. Like, it's just not going to happen.
Right.
And also, like, my husband loves to cook. And so it's not that he doesn't, like, he actually will do a lot of the cooking, but it's, you know, sometimes he's like, I feel like I'm having to cook a lot. And I was like, yeah, absolutely. Because you want to eat at 5 o'clock. Like, so that's just how that's going to go. And so he's like, okay, so I want to make sure I'm understanding this. So when you, like, you are feel really in a creative flow, like in the afternoon. And I'm like, yes. And he's like, so it's like really frustrating for you to then have to interrupt your creative flow to then switch to a task that you don't really, it's kind of like not what you really want to be doing and pull you away from this thing that you were totally engrossed in. And I was like, yes. And he's like, oh, okay. So like, that's why you don't want to cook dinner for like have it ready by like whatever, 5, 6 o'clock. I'm like, yes. I'm like, if we can eat at 7 o'clock or later, I can do that. I can totally do that. So if he, when the nights that he works late, like those are the nights that I just naturally am able to cook. And it was felt so good to be like stand in my power this whole time. And eventually he was like, oh, okay. Like this is actually, this is not just like you being stubborn. This is like actually you're tending to something very important and interrupting it is actually costing you. And there's a loss involved. I don't know if I described it very well, but like it was such an important moment in a relationship to have that shared language for like why this matters.
Yeah, I love that. So it sounds like what I'm hearing is like you're more of a permanent resident of the part of you who is protecting her creative life.
Yes.
Who's saying like, no, like to protect my creative life, I need to be rested. I need to create when I'm in the flow. And this is how that goes.
Yep.
And that's like that wild instinct of going with like your body, like what your body needs.
Yeah. And exactly like with what you're saying too is like, you know, I've spent so much time thinking about my energy and the cycles of energy. And now I think part of like being that permanent resident in this has been, you know, knowing the questions to be asking myself. So it's kind of like, okay, is this, you know, am I in a normal like ebb and flow cycle? Or is it, you know, that I'm losing focus because I'm exhausted and I need to rest? Mm-hmm. Or is it that there's actually the predator in my psyche is like really active right now? Or are there pollutants in the river that I need to clean up? So it's like now I'm able to like suss out what it is that's actually happening for me so that I'm not out of my flow for nearly as long. And I can honor the cycles at the same time. Like it's understanding like what exactly is happening so I can attend to the part of myself that needs care, whether it's like mentally, spiritually, physically, you know.
I think I would say the same thing for me, like the way how you're describing that. That feels true for me too. The other day I was thinking about the part of Woman Who Ran With the Wolves. I don't remember what chapter, maybe the creativity chapter where she talks about being interrupted when you're staring out the window and like dreaming and scheming about your life. And she talks about, you know, like when an older aunt is, you know, sitting there looking out and someone tries to interrupt her, like, you know, woe to the interrupter because like she's going to come snapping at you, right? Because those moments are so important to just be able to be with yourself and to know who you are, what you think, what you feel. And one phrase that has stuck with me really through the course of this particular reading is this idea, like, I'm not an empty vessel waiting to be filled. Like there is stuff going on in here. And I don't need to be given an assignment because I'm sitting down and you see me sitting down. This does not mean I'm waiting to be assigned a task.
Amen.
So that I think also for me, I think I am more of a permanent resident in my wild instinctual nature in that way. And now in the house that we're in, I have an office with a door and I shut the door. And, you know, we don't have kids or anything. So this is very, it helps with this to be not interrupted. But like my husband doesn't come. He doesn't interrupt me unless the door is open. So I feel like this is very good. Like I can shut the door in my office and I can be there and be alone and be uninterrupted. And it's amazing. If I forget and I leave the door open, like a task is going to be coming my way. So it's like in a task meaning something to think about, something to consider, something to listen to, you know, stuff like that. So it's like, I love shutting that door. And I think one other way for me that's changed is, and this was going on before we started reading, but it's just has become more solid through such a year of like transition and not really having a permanent home through the year, has been really, really grounding into my spiritual practice and having that be like a permanent part of my life. Now it feels so like grounded, like the rituals around like Sunday morning, I wake up and I do like ceremony and ritual to just feel my feelings and to write things out, to figure out, like I pull oracle cards asking like, who was I last week? Who am I today? Who am I becoming? And just really like having that time to sift and get to know myself has been really, really good. And yeah, I think it's good. I also feel really grateful that I have a life that accommodates that. But I also know like it would be so easy to not do that, right? To make up a bunch of stuff I needed to do instead of sitting with myself and thinking and feeling. And so I feel like through this year and through reading Women Who Run with the Wolves and thinking about not being an empty vessel waiting to be filled, it's like that has become more solid for me.
And what it sounds like, and tell me where I'm wrong, but where she talks about in this chapter, the connection between bringing our work, not just from, you know, being out into the woods and on these deep spiritual journeys when we're kind of in the underground, but actually bringing them into the day to day, the seemingly like mundane things that mm-hmm. we're doing, and that you've actually been able to integrate it so beautifully into your daily life in a way that, you know, has shifted over time.
Yeah, that's true. That's totally true.
And I think that's what's cool is that it doesn't have to be separate. I think that was one of my big takeaways from this chapter in particular, is that it can happen. We can do this deep work and we can still sit down at the computer, you know, yes. And we can still do this work, yes. And we can still take care of other people, and we can still, you know, it doesn't have to happen. Like, it's beautiful to have these containers, but to become the permanent resident, I feel like this is my, has been the other takeaway, is like, it has to be able to come to the topside world, and it has to be integrated into the way that you spend your morning and the way you move throughout your day and all those different things. It's part of it, and it's always changing. And I have to remind myself too, that even though like I know these things, it takes practice and it takes time. And sometimes like it gets interrupted, and that's not like a personal failing.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, okay, I can just come back to it. You know, like this last week, my whole routine was totally thrown out the window. And I was frustrated about it, but it's like, it's okay. I can start over tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like I think that's the idea of the shadowing, that your wild self is just always there. It's never not there. Mm-hmm. You can always turn to it with any small practice, which I think we'll talk more about in our life school episode, especially when we get into the idea of the wolf rules, like those last 10 phrases for the chapter. But for now, I'm really curious, do you have a quote you would like to share with us from chapter 15?
Of course. Use your love and good instincts to know when it's time to growl, to pounce, to take a swipe, when to kill, when to retreat, when to bay till dawn. To live as closely as possible to the numinous wild woman, a woman must do more head tossing, more brimming, have more sniffing intuition, more creative life, more get down and dirty, more solitude, more women's company, more natural life, more fire, more spirit, more cooking of words and ideas. She must do more recognition of sorority, more seeding, more rootstock keeping, more kindness to men, more neighborhood revolution, more poetry, more painting of fables and facts, longer reaches into the wild feminine, more terrorist sewing groups, more howling, and especially much more canto hondo, more deep song. Again, it's that approachable thing that you can almost like look down this list and be like, what is it that of these things that spark something in me that I can just take one action to bring more of that into my life? Like, what am I yearning for? What do I want? And it just feels like such a clear instruction of like, bring some of these, more of these things into your life. And that's how you can feel connected with the wild woman. It's simple. It's beautiful. It's approachable.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. Yeah.
And so what's the quote that you have for us?
I think mine is going to be really similar on the same vein, but it's going to be the last couple paragraphs of the chapter, because I want to just like end our book study in the, you know, the last book study of Women Who Run With the Wolves on the last paragraphs of Women Who Run With the Wolves. Okay, so she says, "The ways and means of living with the instinctive nature are many, and the answers change as you change and as the world changes. So it cannot be said, do this and this in this particular order and all will be well. But over my lifetime, as I've met wolves, I have tried to puzzle out how they live, for the most part, in such harmony. So for peaceable purposes, I would suggest you begin right now with anything on this list. For those who are struggling, it may help greatly to begin with number 10. And the list is the general wolf rules for life. 1. Eat. 2. Rest. 3. Rove in between. 4. Render loyalty. 5. Love the children. 6. Cavil in moonlight. 7. Tune your ears. 8. Attend to the bones. 9. Make love. 10. Howl often." Okay, everyone. So that is the end of our book study of chapter 15. Wow, I'm having a lot of feelings.
Me right too. Now. As you were reading, I was like, this is the last quote.
We have so enjoyed doing this with you. And like I said, next week there will be the Life School episode for chapter 15. And then we have a couple fun bonus episodes in the works. And we just hope you have enjoyed reading Women Who Run With the Wolves with us. And if you haven't been reading it, that's awesome too. We hope you've just been enjoying listening and going on this journey, this book study with us. And again, please do leave a review on your favorite podcast player. I used to be super shy about leaving reviews, and I now leave reviews for people. So I feel like if I can do it, anyone can do it. Like, we can do it. I've been listening to Glennon Doyle's podcast, We Can Do Hard Things, and I feel like we can do it. We can do the hard thing of leaving a review, even if we're shy introverts. It really, really is helpful. And you can also join our Facebook group at Full Heart Free Voice Podcast Community. Okay, thanks everybody.
Thank you all so much.
This episode was produced by Emma Veritas and Caitlin Bosshart. You can find out more about me, Emma, at my website, wildauthenticity.com, where you can also download your free workbook, 3 Habits to Calm Your Fear and Get You Writing.
And you can find out more about me, Caitlin, at my website, caitlinbosshart.com, and on Instagram at caitlin_bosshart. The nicest thing that you can do for us is to subscribe and leave us a review on your favorite podcast player.
To stay connected with us, join the conversation in our Facebook group, follow along with us on Instagram, and sign up for our monthly newsletter. You'll find all the links in our show notes.
A special thank you to the amazing artists whose music is featured in our podcast, Wally Ingram, Stevie Black, and Tom Freund. You heard portions of their tracks, Shine a Light and Who Do You Love, from their record Spa Day.
And thanks to Caitlin Bosshart for creating our beautiful cover art. And thank you to Kirit Basu for all his audio and technical help.
And a huge thank you to Emma Veritas for her editing magic. Last but not least, thank you to you, our listeners.